grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step.
I hear he's broke.
He can't even pay his bills.
Life can be so sweet.
It's embarrassing because he wants people to make you think he's making
money. Our microphones are on.
What?
Our microphones are on.
Oh, man.
Are you talking about me?
No.
Oh.
With those blues.
We're gonna have to get
or
some
me.
No. We're going to have to get some lights on or something that says, hey, your mic's on.
This rover,
sir, could I trouble you for a glass of warm milk? It helps put me asleep.
You could trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up.
Well, isn't that nice?
That was just on the other day. It was on over the weekend.
What is that from?
No, Happy Gilmore.
Oh, I love Happy Gilmore.
Oh, my goodness. That Ben Stiller.
There's a new Pee-wee movie out too on Netflix. Did you hear about that?
Yeah,
I knew what.
Oh yeah, you were the one that was mentioning the.
We actually haven't talked about it on the air.
Was that off the air? We were talking about his looks.
We'll talk about it today.
Paul Rubens was on Jimmy Fallon last night.
That's a good story.
He came out as himself and was really subdued and kind of. Just kind of laid back. Wasn't it as Pee-wee or anything?
It was I don't think anybody cares about seeing him that way.
I don't think Pee-wee. I know it was weird. It was strange.
It'd be funny if he went, "Hey, you know what? This is boring. Do Pee-wee."
Yeah,
because you're boring as Paul Rubens.
Well, Jimmy Fallon. It seemed like he was a little awkward interviewing him because Paul Rubens wasn't really responding all that much, and Jimmy kept trying to get the Pee-wee character out of him, and it never came out. He never brought it out.
Do you know that Paul Rubens pleasures himself?
I heard that.
Yeah.
In movie
theaters?
That's some
inside information.
Well, maybe he doesn't do that anymore. That was a long time ago.
I think when you get caught, you only do that once. When you get caught, you don't do it again. That's what I think.
Yeah, not in a movie theater, at least.
Well, folks, good afternoon. Good afternoon, and welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. And we got a few things to kick around today. My daughter has a boyfriend. They've been together for well over 2 years now.
He has a great name.
Yes, he does, Dan. And he has a condition. It's not a horrible condition, but it's one of those things where you can be with somebody a while, but if you're not really married, there are things later you discover about them. This is not a bad thing. It's just, I wonder when I would have found out about this. So I'll kind of leave you hanging with that. It's an interesting story. And I guess, too, we could bring up the question to people, is there anything that after you got married or after you moved in together or whatever, that you thought, oh, man, if I had known this. And I'm not talking about tempering, beating you. I'm just talking about, oh, boy, if I'd known that
like
he...
gaseous outbursts?
Well, yeah, or that he likes to sit at the dinner table with no socks on and pick the toe jam between his toes. If I'd known that, I don't think I would have ended up with this guy. But let me start by saying... It is now, I'm safe to say, I believe that it's spring. It really,
yes.
2 days, it's official spring. Just pull up the old forecast here and see what we're looking at. Well, once again, not too bad. 75 right now, and we're looking at 72 tomorrow. A little rain, a couple days, a little chance. The very lowest, I always like to check to see since we're still sort of in the cold weather. Lowest I see all next week is 38 on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Oh, 31 on Thursday night. So, what an interesting but okay mild winter. It's been okay.
Yeah.
Now we're into spring, and then not only are now in the spring, here we are now the 22nd day of March, and I look around, you know, and I see just another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Had a guy email me yesterday. He goes, Frank, if you want to change it up a bit, you could do the song where it starts off, it was the 3rd of September, a day I'll always remember. And I wrote him back. I said, what? Change it up? I said,
yeah.
I know for a fact from your email name, you've been listening a long time. Who do you think you're talking to? We don't change things.
No.
We beat them to death.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do.
My my friend Jay sent me a
Jay
note.
Mano?
No, sent me a note on Facebook the other day, and was telling me that you can tell when spring is right around the corner because there's a certain tree. Once it blooms, it has a certain aroma to it.
Oh, it stinks.
Yeah.
Yes,
it
stinks like a very particular
thing.
An aroma
that comes out of one's body.
A dogwood tree. Have you ever noticed what a dogwood tree smells like when it blooms?
A long time ago, somebody had me make a point to go down. There's some in our backyard. I said, well, go down and take a smell. I don't remember the smell, though. I knew it was bad. Tell us what it smells like.
Is it
a body part?
No.
Or is it a body function?
I sent you a message.
Kind of a function.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, dancing. Yes.
What's funny, Dan sends me, I'm going to read it. Dan sends me the message of what it smells like, and typical Dan, he
misspelled it.
Here's what Dan says it smells like. S-E-A-M-A-N. Like somebody, so the dogwood smells like a guy in the Navy?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. That is the particular smell it smells
they
like.
They have a salty sort of aroma.
Ammonia.
Ammonia
from swabbing the decks.
Yeah, kind of a Clorox smell.
Yeah.
So Dan,
that's the official welcoming in the spring when you walk outside and you smell that Navy man that smells
like he swabbed the decks. S-E-A-M-A-N.
Yes.
Only Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much.
By the way, we laugh at Dan, but technically he may be right that is the semen it smells like.
It is.
Swab deck Clorox semen.
You never been around a Navy guy?
I have not, really, except my dad, but not when he was swabbing the decks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
And sure enough, when you put that in, because I did it just to check, when you put that term in and then put trees into Google and search and bring up images, it shows a dogwood tree. So it's pretty common knowledge that is the
aroma.
So you don't
want to go home to your wife if you've been brushing up a dogwood up against a dogwood tree.
Or climbing a dogwood tree.
Climbing a tree. And she'll go, wait a minute. I thought you said you were going to go climbing trees today. It was the dogwood, honest. Mm. Yeah. So does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
I do, too.
Well, jumping right in there first, and so let's go with first come, first served. Eon the Peon, it's all yours.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I posted a video last night on our Facebook page.
Oh, I've seen it.
It's about a 4 or 5 minute video, and it just focuses on one teacher that lives in this city, and she's explaining her city that she lives in. It's Whittier, Alaska. And this town is really interesting.
It's a town where everybody's a lot wittier?
Yes. Yes.
We need to go there.
That joke could have been wittier, but that's all it is. But 99.9% of the entire town lives in one condominium building.
What?
There's only about 220 people that live there, and just about I think only one person lives outside the building, and it's this old. It was built during World War II. It was a military facility because I guess they built it around the time when Pearl Harbor happened. So I guess it's because Whittier
is. She was a singer. She was on Sullivan a lot, and that was Pearl Bailey.
So it's really neat to just get a little glimpse into these people's lives because. With the amount of rain and snow they get there, I mean, they said you don't have to leave this condominium. It has everything in it. It has the school in it for all that the kids go to. It has a grocery store. There's only one tunnel out of town, and it's one lane, and
what
it only goes
boring,
one.
What a boring existence! It sounds like prison.
But the people that live there love it. I mean, you know, it's almost like an entire family, just, you know, because there's only 200 people.
So there's only one tunnel going in
one
and out?
One tunnel that leads out of town. I think it's about an hour to Anchorage, and it only goes one direction, so because it only has a path for one car.
How do they get... How do they get supplies into the grocery store? Helicopter?
No, they can take the trip. The couple that runs the grocery store goes to Anchorage and picks up all the supplies and bring it back.
How long is the tunnel?
I don't know if I...
Because somebody has to shut it down at one end with that flag that goes stop.
Yeah.
Well, they shut it down at 10:30 at night. So this teacher was talking about if you go to a movie in Anchorage, you better hope that movie ends at 9:30, because then you have an hour trip to the tunnel, and if you don't make it to the tunnel by 10:30, it's closed, so you have to sleep in your car.
No, I'm not living
on the
there.
Other side.
I would never.
So it's real. If you want to see the video, it's kind of interesting because this teacher explains how life is in this condominium building. It's one city, essentially, just one building is the entire city, and most of the people work there, work in fishing, or you know, pretty much all the businesses are right around this building that they work in. So. I thought that was interesting. So it's on our Facebook page if you want to see it. And the last thing I have, for some reason last night, you know, because I'm not a political person, I'm not a fan of politics, but this thing popped up where there's a web page, and it's called isidewith.com. And it's like a 15 or 20-minute survey where you answer these questions how you feel. And then they tell you
which candidate
you align with. So somebody that's not informed.
That's pretty good, though.
You know, like me, I choose not to be informed. But so after doing this 20-minute survey,
who are you supposed to vote for?
I am voting for our next president.
Let me guess.
All right.
Who? They told you Hubert Humphrey.
President John McAfee.
John McAfee?
Yeah.
He's not even running, is he?
He is running.
Well, nobody knows
him. He's still in the race.
John McAfee?
John McAfee is a 70-year-old computer programmer. He's the one that made the McAfee antivirus program. He's kind of a nutty guy.
He's a libertarian. I know who he is.
Yeah. And he was on the run for like some... murder or something,
yes.
I want to say.
Yes.
some weird deal. So that is what this website told me, who I think our next president should be.
How many questions were there?
It was pretty extensive. They break it down into, you know, all the different categories. Yeah, like I said, it took about 15 or 20 minutes. So if you want to do it, it's isidewith.com.
Huh.
And it'll tell you I was 85% aligned with John McAfee on his views.
Good luck with getting him elected.
Well, and that's the funny part, too. On their views that they say publicly, that doesn't necessarily mean what their views will be when the time comes, you know, when certain special interests get involved. You know how I believe politics works.
Right.
So, but, yeah, if you want to do that, it's isidewith.com.
And okay.
That was all I had.
And let's turn to Dan Strauss, Dan.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Did you hear about Barrel Bob?
No.
Barrel Bob is the mascot for MoDOT. And they have a couple of them throughout the state, but this one is for Central Missouri.
Why is he called Barrel Bob?
Because Barrel Bob is their safety mascot.
He's made
mascot.
Out of those He's, orange
yeah, those big, orange barrels.
Orange construction barrels, you know, with the white reflective stripes
yeah.
on them.
Okay.
And they put a face on him. He's He is, let's see, how tall is he? Hold on here. I'm looking. He is like 5 or 6 feet tall, weighs 50 pounds, and he was stolen in Jefferson City the other day. So they're out looking for Barrel Bob, and they asked that people call MoDOT if they find him. Now, Barrel Bob has been kidnapped before, and they found him down at the Lake of the Ozarks. So somebody took Barrel Bob down to party with him at the Lake of the Ozarks and just left him. So they found him down there. And another time he was set on fire.
I know this is a crime, but it's actually kind of funny. It's like Weekend at Bernie's.
I think it's hilarious. I think it is so funny that someone can.
So you're telling young people you condone criminal activity?
No, I don't condone criminal activity, but I think this is extremely funny that someone stole Barrel Bob. It's not really hurting anyone.
It's an actual bear. It's not exactly a small thing to steal.
No, it's pretty
10 feet
big.
Tall,
ten
from what I'm seeing. They have a missing poster.
Yeah, they have a missing poster for him,
He
too.
Was last seen in Jefferson City on Route 5063.
Gotta put him on milk cartons.
I know.
Oh, and there still are cartons. I saw them in the store. But instead of the peel back the corners, they have little caps on them now that you unscrew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then the little tab that you pull out of the
But it's
cap.
Mostly on that goofy almond milk and silk.
Oh.
What is that crap?
I can't deal with that stuff. That silk or whatever that is.
So what else do you have?
That was pretty much it.
Let's wrap her up. It's officially closed. I'm going to do some Landolph business. When I come back, I'll share a story with you that my daughter shared with me and my wife, and I found it very interesting, and I got to thinking, was there any sort of big surprise that I learned into the relationship about my wife that, wow, just kind of made me think, wow, I had no idea you were this way or you had this problem, but it's not anything horrible, but maybe it'll make you think about whether or not you had a situation like that. And we'll do that after we take a quick break, and the quick break will start with this. It'll start with John Landolph. Now, I did get a nice email yesterday from the guy that I told you about who wrote me and said he went and bought another vehicle because I was so rude to him at Landolph. And he kind of backed it up a little bit. He took it back a couple of notches and said next time he will buy there. And I guess he accepted my apology. That's the first in all these years, first time I've had anybody say. But that was about me. That wasn't about Landolph. This guy didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like me, you're probably going to have a tendency to not patronize our advertisers. The cruise special is still on the table, I guess, because I heard John mention it just last week. He said, we still got the great special cruise lease on Chevy Cruises. 10,000 miles, 2 years, nothing down, $169 a month. Now, here's a quiz. Was that a recording of him or was that me? That's a tough one. Okay, that was me.
What?
Yeah, that wasn't him.
Whoa.
Yeah. Here's another one. How you doing, Frank? Can we get some Landolph love? I love you, Frank. That was me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I could have sworn that was a recording.
So I was behind a cruise yesterday, a brand new one, and I thought, the sad news was I didn't get a chance to see if it had a Landolph thing on. It kind of went around a corner. But that's a really, really nice-looking vehicle. It's just a good, dependable, for some people, main primary vehicle. If you have the money and you can do, well, now you probably do have the money because it's $169 a month, 2 years walk away. So you've got a car that's under warranty because it's brand new the whole time you have it, 10,000 miles a year, 2 years, $169, nothing down, and boom, you're on your way. No trade-in, no big down payment. It is a terrific lease offer on the Chevy Cruze. And then, of course, all the other Chevy products, which I think this last couple of years, they finally decided, all right, they took a vote at General Motors. How many people think we've had enough ugly Impalas over the last 20 years? And everybody raised their hands. And they said, let's do something dramatic. And they did with that Impala. Wow. Dan, didn't you drive one, the Impala? Didn't you loan you one or something?
No, I did not.
You're more of an SUV guy, right?
Yeah.
You like that.
Yeah.
You got to put all that band equipment in there.
Yeah.
Need a lot of space.
You know what? That's a good point, too, because it will haul some stuff. That Equinox, we got one from my mother-in-law from Landolph. You drop those seats in the back, you can get a lot of stuff in there.
I loved it. I love that Equinox. Now I have a Captiva.
That's right. You have a Captiva.
Yeah, and I like that, too.
A lot of space.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, whether you need a big, full-blown four-door Silverado pickup truck or just a little Sonic or anything in between, if it's Chevy, we have your dealer. And if you're AM and the PM, and I don't think this is a lot to ask, if you're AM and the PM, all we've ever asked is that you go there and give them a chance. Now, the guy that was upset with me, he didn't even give me or them a chance. He just went off and went, well, buy somewhere else. We're just asking you to give them a chance. And the rest is up to them. And based on past history and track record, I think you'll probably end up buying at Landolf, because we know you're not going to get a better deal anywhere else. So let's just get that out of the way. That's a lot of people. That's the number one thing. Well, I hope I get a really good deal, because I'm going to go where I get the best deal. Okay, check that off the list. Nobody will beat their deal. They just won't. And I've told you before, folks, stop falling for these offers. And if we can't beat anybody else's deal, we'll give you $1,000. It's never happened, and it never will happen. And here's why. If I beat the other deal by $1, I'm off the hook. I don't have to pay the $1,000. What moron as a dealer is going to go, well, let me see. Let me see that again. That's that. Is this Landolf's offer?
Oh.
They want $27,600. Hang on. Let me get my manager. Bob, can we beat this? We can't. All right. No. Here's $1,000.
No, we can't. Here's $1,000. Go buy it at Landolf.
No, they'll come at you and they'll go, tell you what, we'll take $100 off of that, or $10, mm-hmm. or $1. Now they've beaten it, and they're not going to give you $1,000. They never will. Yeah. So don't pay attention to the gimmickry. These dealers are all very competitive. They have to be. Pay attention to the service and the way they handle their people, the way they deal with people, the way they treat people. Pay attention to that. Johnny Landolf Chevrolet, they know how to do it. Daddy taught him well. Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, 24/7 at Landolf.com.
Oh, and I drove a brand new Malibu.
That's what my...
Oh, my goodness.
I almost said my son-in-law. That's what my daughter's boyfriend drive. Oh. I borrowed it one day and took it. It's nice.
I couldn't figure out which one I wanted.
No, for the money,
or the Malibu.
But if you're a high-end, sit-up-high sort of SUV or even crossover person, no car. My wife just doesn't care about driving any car. She wants a truck.
Yeah.
Meaning SUV, Suburban, Tahoe, you know, that kind of thing. That's what she likes.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't figure it out, but I had to. But I finally took the SUV.
Now we go into traffic?
Yes, we are. Sorry. It just hit me that I drove the Malibu. All right, now we're going to check some traffic. And here is Tim Weiland, and he's searching for Barrel Bob also. Tim?
It just struck me that you're talking selling Chevys while I'm supposed to be doing traffic, Dan.
Yeah, you jumped right in there. Wow. I had the sounder ready to go.
No, you know, it's funny because my daughter drives a Malibu also, but hers is about two and a half years old, or maybe 3 years old, but it's still I love that car.
That's
really
not funny.
Nice.
You said, you know what's funny?
Yeah.
And then you said, my daughter drives a two-year-old Malibu. Hang on. You might think that's funny.
I guess that's not.
It's not funny.
No.
Because it's an old Malibu.
But that's not
2 years old.
She gets to need to get a new one. I told her, go
see
the county.
We need to teach you humor. That's not funny. hey, guys, you know what's funny? Listen to this. You know what's funny? Come on, gather around. Listen to this. My daughter drives a two-year-old Malibu.
Hey, how come you're whispering, Tim? You kind of seem subdued. Is there someone else? Is Roger in there or Tori or anybody else?
They're in the other room.
Somebody who speaks for a Ford dealer in there with
you? Yeah.
Now that's funny.
In a minute or so, I'm going to share with you a story, something we found out about my daughter's boyfriend. And I think you'll find it really, really interesting. Before we do that, though, a couple of things. We're going to talk about Joe Calmer and his wife, Cheryl. And Calmer Memorial Services on the Illinois side and American Cremation on the Missouri side. Two parts to this. I spoke to my dad yesterday. What is today? Sunday. I'm sorry. And my dad will be 90 this year, and he looks terrific, but he can't walk. He can stand up and has to be put in a wheelchair. And this is going to sound kind of crude, but it's life, and it's about the only way you can put it. And I just was asking him, how's everything going? He's in a small nursing home. And he said, it's okay. He said, I'd love to get out of here. He said, but go where? To a lesser nurse? He doesn't use the word lesser. He's a Tennessee guy with very little education. He goes to a horrible nursing home. He says, but try to imagine what it's like, how embarrassing it is every day to have somebody wiping your butt for you. And I thought, yeah. I can't imagine that. Now, the other thing that happened to my dad when he got older was he got selfish. My dad was never selfish. Me, 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 me. It's all about him. He rarely ever asks about the kids or anything. It's rare. It's about him. But, boy, my wife and I, when he said this, and we're both listening, it pleasantly surprised me. He said, "I've decided I want to be cremated." Now, my dad has always said he wants a big, nice funeral and everybody around the grave and a lot of people there. Here's the problem with his mind. There won't be a lot of people because there aren't a lot of people to be there. There might be me, my brother, and let me think, I think that's it. All his siblings are gone. All his friends are gone. He doesn't live where he was raised, and even if he were there, they couldn't make it to a funeral. So he finally said something that made really a lot of sense. He just wanted to be cremated. He said, "But I still want a really big sort of party, and I want everybody to come together and bring a lot of food." And I didn't have the heart to say, "Daddy, who's going to come? I'll bring something. My wife will bring something. My brother." And then what?
Well, yeah, you can just leave him with a, say, "Sure, there'll be, big party."
He won't know.
He won't know.
And that's
exactly.
I don't think that's wrong or cruel.
I don't think so either.
But the fact that for the first time in his life, he said cremation. And so that's what I want you to start thinking about. I want you to start thinking about what's best for the whole family, what will cause the least amount of fighting, and that's somebody making the decision in advance that you have some kind of documentation of, and what is dignified yet very, very affordable. And that's what Joe Calmer and his wife and his staff at Calmer Memorial in Illinois and American Creation in St. Louis do. Let me read you an email that I just got, and it's from Dave. And I told Dave when I wrote him back, I said, "Dave, I won't mention your last name. I don't know sometimes if that's okay with people." He says, "Joe Calmer and Calmer Memorial Services helped us manage the deaths of our mother and our father. 5 years ago, we were looking for a low-key but professional funeral service to help us manage my mother's funeral. Joe was friendly and incredibly accommodating, sensitive to our needs as we dealt with my mother's death. We were so happy with the service that we used the service again when my father recently passed away unexpectedly. They are a family-run business, and they offer a wide range of services. Their business model allows them to provide top-notch service without the overhead of the traditional huge funeral industry. I hope not to need to visit them again for a long time, but if I need funeral services in the future, I will be calling Joe." Now, I don't want you to think that Joe and Cheryl are like a two-man operation with a car working out of their home. They're not. They're in the funeral business. But what Dave, thank you, Dave, for the email, what Dave meant when he said their business model allows them to provide top-notch service without the overhead, we've talked about this before, they're not interested in you, the customers, paying for a fleet of limos, Cadillac limousines and hearses and whatever. They're not interested in that. And by the way, now most people grieving who've lost somebody are not interested in that either. They're interested in dignity and affordability because this funeral thing has gotten completely out of hand. Kind of like, to me, the wedding business has gotten out of hand.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't think that's necessary either. And just because you're saving a mountain of money doesn't mean in any way there's any less dignity. Let's face it. Many of you are doing these big, fancy funerals for yourself. Not for your dead. And dead is a hard word. Ooh, he said dead. You're deceased. How's that? Is that softer for you? Your deceased father or mother or grandfather. It's for you and your friends. And I'm not criticizing people who do that. If you've got the money and that's what you want to do. But I'm talking to most of you who have decided in recent years it's just unnecessary. Let's take Daddy's ashes and let's say he loved to fish. Let's take him out in the boat. That'd be fun. Take the grandkids out. Here's what Pawpaw liked to do. Let's put his ashes here. I don't think there's anybody around St. Louis better at this, better at keeping costs down, yet still giving you a dignified goodbye than Calmer Memorial in Illinois and American Cremation in St. Louis. Well, here's what I'm asking you to do. You might not need them today or tomorrow or next year, but at some point, most of us are going to need this. And it might not be a bad idea to go ahead and tell your kids, "Hey, you know what, the time comes. You kids are working hard. You're trying to make it. You're going to put your own kids through school. Blow a lot of money on me. Give me a real nice goodbye." You can still have the celebration get-together and the party and all that and put my urn or box or whatever it is there and set it up for. You can still have all that. You don't have to get. In fact, you can have more of it. You can have it in multiple places with the ashes if you want to. And we've turned a big, big corner here because in this country we're headed very soon to a number that's almost 3/4 of goodbyes are through cremation. So may I highly recommend. And if you want to be even more impressed, go watch Joe's video. It's on both their websites. And the sites you can link to through frankopinion.com on sponsors. Listen to his little 3.5-minute speech about his philosophy about the funeral business and how it just doesn't need to be a money grab. Calmer Memorial in Illinois, American Cremation on the St. Louis side. And the first time I made any contact with him, even just talking on the phone the first time, and then I saw what he had done on his video, I thought everything about this makes sense to me. All right, my daughter lives now in Kansas City, and her boyfriend lives in Kansas City. They went out the other night to a restaurant, Grip Bar and Grill restaurant, whatever, and if I get the story right, his brothers had come into town, into Kansas City to visit him, so my daughter was with him. My daughter's boyfriend cut his hand on a glass. I'm not sure, and I don't know that she is yet what really happened, but there was a... You ever been in a restaurant and gotten a broken glass to serve tea? I have a big crack in it, and it breaks. Now, and they go, oh my gosh, are you hurt? Are you okay? You might get a free meal out of it. He cut his hand, and he looked down. It was bleeding. He dropped like a stone. He... out cold.
At the sight of blood?
At the sight of his blood.
Oh,
now,
wow.
My daughter had no idea he had this issue, so she's thinking... Oh, my goodness, he had a stroke or heart attack. He's 27. Mm-hmm. A stroke or heart attack. His own brothers didn't know it. And
wow.
When he came to, he said, yes. Now, I'm sure there's a name for it. I went online to look it up, and I couldn't find the medical name for it. But it is not, let's put it this way, it's not common in the sense that lots of, but it's not that uncommon. In other words, a significant number of people have this issue where if they see, and wait till I tell you the other things I found, at a couple of medical sites that people, if they see it, they pass out. And I asked my daughter, I said, well, is it just his blood or other people's blood? She said, I don't know. I need to ask him that. And I said, well, my goodness, if you guys end up staying together, heaven forbid, you're out somewhere and you get cut, he's not going to be any help. He'll just pass out.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Oh, let me help you.
You know, my wife had a miscarriage, and I don't know if you've ever... experienced that. It's a bloody mess. I'm sorry. I don't know how else to put it to you. Oh, my goodness. He would have probably been in a coma for a month if he saw that. That's...
My oldest son, if the doctor would walk in, and this is forever, the doctor would walk in and they go, okay, we're going to give you a shot. Take out the needle. Boom, that was it. He passed out. Anytime he saw a needle, he passed out.
One of the things I'm about to mention in this short list is needles.
Mm-hmm.
There are people, if they see a needle, it doesn't even have to go in the arm yet.
No.
Now, get this rest of the short list, though. Pooping or peeing. According to these medical sites, there are people.
Who pass out when they poop?
Yes,
really?
Or pee. Now, how do you go through life? You do that every day.
Or pee?
Yes.
I don't know.
Wow.
How about this? The sound of a trumpet. There are people who will faint. You imagine, maybe not a bugle, I hope. You're at a military.
Oh, man.
Now, this is the one that really got me. There are people, if you cut or brush their hair, they pass out.
Really?
They faint. Yes.
Cut or
how about
brush
that?
Their hair.
To me, that's a very, well, look, it might put you to sleep. I haven't had hair for a long time, but it's kind of relaxing, isn't it? Somebody brushing your hair.
Yeah.
It's a nice relaxing thing. Well, it's too relaxing for these people.
Man.
They pass out.
Wow.
Completely out when they have their hair cut. So I don't know how common it is. I tried to look up some numbers and stats. I couldn't find them. Maybe I need to look again. But I told my daughter, I said, she goes, well, what do you think I should do? I said, we can't do anything. My goodness, everybody's got something. And I don't know if eventually they'll come up with a way to, how would you put it, to with therapy or Medicaid? I don't know. But I said it's interesting. What you have to do is find out if he faints at other people's blood. Because that could be bad.
I don't know. Did I miss it? Has he done it a lot in previous?
Hey, they've been together over 2 years. She's never seen it. His own brothers, grew up with him his whole life and never knew it.
Wow.
So evidently he hasn't done it a lot, but maybe it's because they've never been in his presence when he cut himself.
Yeah.
I just thought that, wow, that's interesting. Now, some people, if you draw blood, they can't look. I just had blood drawn, my goodness, I had blood drawn. I can look at it. I can watch the needle go in.
I cannot.
Yeah, my dad, because I was talking to him about this when I talked to him a couple days ago, he can. He's always been able to. But you have to keep in mind, my dad is that World War II generation. My dad is the guy who had his tonsils taken out, sitting up in a chair with no Novocaine, no anesthetic, sitting in a chair, and they just took these tongs and reached out and ripped his tonsils out. It was in the Navy. In the Navy.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, I can't believe you could ever speak again. Oh. I'd be vomiting blood for a year if they did that.
Oh.
But that's how they used to do things in the Navy. I just thought it was, and it would never be a deal breaker. Look, if you're with somebody and you're thinking about getting married, can you think of anything you found out? Well, not you, Dan.
He couldn't. I found out all kinds of crap.
You got a laundry list.
Yes.
And Peon can't say because Angela might be listening. Well, not a deal breaker. Yes, you could. Just something you thought, wow, I had no idea. I'll tell you what my wife's is. Spending. I didn't have any idea because she was a little girl with no money in Belleville. Their parents were just like my parents, barely making ends meet. I thought, she'll be low maintenance. She's not ever going to cost a lot. Yep. High maintenance, my own fault.
She collects shoes.
Yeah, but it's something maybe to think about after we break and do the news. Colin doesn't come in here until about 4:30. Think about it. Is there something your significant other, spouse, partner, whatever, that after you were sort of locked into it, you found out something you didn't know? And again, not a deal breaker, just now alters things a little. You have to be careful. And quite frankly, let's say they got married and had kids. Kids get hurt. Kids bleed. Kids skin their knees all the time. Make sure daddy's not standing there when it happens, or daddy's going to drop. Kid will be fine. Daddy's going to fall down. Because you don't want your little son or daughter, hey, daddy, will you take me? I want to learn to ride the bike again today. Oh, okay. And, you know, you're pushing the kid on the bike, and they lose it. Skin knee, daddy. So that kind of thing you just have to prepare for.
Yeah, I'm probably the one that has more health issues than she has. She's really only had a thyroid issue. That's about it.
A lot of women have that.
Yeah.
The thyroid thing.
She had it taken out, so.
When our daughter was born, I watched all our kids being born. Daughter was cesarean, and I videotaped them all. And the doctor says, you sure you want to come in and watch this because we cut her? I said, yeah, absolutely. And I went and stood there and videoed the whole thing. It didn't bother me at all. He said, I have to ask you this, and that's why. And he pointed to the operating room next door. I'm not making this up. They were wheeling the dad out on the gurney. As soon as they started to deliver the baby, he completely passed out. And they rolled him by me, unconscious, and said, well, that was the dad in the next room. Are you okay with this? I said, yep. I went through the other two, and even cesarean, I can handle it. And to the doctor's credit, he let me stand there and watch the whole thing. And what's funny is my wife, there's a curtain, you know, in front of her. She can't see waist, double over waist, what we're looking at. But I'm looking at her guts, and he's showing me, he goes, here's the spleen, and here's the... Yeah. And she looked, I remember she looked, kind of looked up and went, are you all having a good time?
She couldn't feel anything.
And I got the videotape of my daughter being lifted out. Some people think that's sick. I think it's fantastic. And my kids have all enjoyed watching being born. Can you imagine if that technology, we could watch ourselves be born?
Mm-mm.
Nah. Didn't have that, but we weren't the Jetsons back then. Let's talk about Huber. Huber and Associates. Huber is it's an IT company, and they want to be your IT partner, and you should consider letting them be your IT partner. They help companies and enterprises with IT stuff, and there's a layman and complete idiot about all that. I just refer to it as IT stuff. All over the country, they have IT solutions. Put you out in front of your business competitors. It's sort of like, it's like anything else. If you don't have the latest technology, let's say you're in the cab business, and every other cab company has late great technology and easier to track, and you don't, you just still have a horrible two-way radio or something, you're done. IT kind of the same way. And I might mention, not just an IT company, an IBM premier business partner. There are only 42 IT companies in the country that IBM will designate as a premier business partner. Only 42. Their website is teamhuber.com. And they're interested in one thing, and that is giving you a competitive edge to help your company succeed when it comes to IT. TeamHuber.com, Huber Associates, it's all there for you if you want to call them. At FrankOpinion.com, under sponsors, we'll link you right to them. Huber and Associates, H-U-B-E-R, 4 o'clock. Ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, 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 chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga,
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me.
What is the original? Was this a B.J. Thomas song?
Originally, yes. This is the Blue Suede version.
Everything's all right. I like B.J.'s version better. But I would. I'm old. So I'm watching Vinyl. I don't think you guys are watching it. I think, Dan, it's a mistake if you're not watching it or if you don't catch up on it later.
Oh, yeah, I'm not watching it.
What a fantastic series about the radio business and the record business in the 60s and 70s. And I'm watching it, and toward the end, there's a guy at a piano, and it's a setting. I think it's one of the record producer's son's bar mitzvah or something. The guy at the piano is playing a song, and such a beautiful, beautiful song. And so I went on iTunes. I do this a lot when I'm watching TV. I jump on iTunes, and I held Shazam up to the TV first to get the name of the song. So then I go on iTunes, and I thought, who else has done this song? Turns out a lot of people have done it. But I chose to download the piano version because there are certain songs to me that even though you don't know the lyrics don't matter. It's just a song that does something to you. Generally, when I talk about that, I'm talking about violin pieces, piano pieces, cello, just very moving songs. And I'm going to play you a little of this song, and I'm going to ask you to, especially you, Dan, because you're the music guy, if you recognize the song, and we'll start there. And here's, I hope this works. I think I set this up right. Here's a little bit of it here.
Yes, I know the song.
You do?
Yeah.
Don't say anything. Let me stop and just say, would you agree that most people will be stunned?
But yeah.
When they find out who wrote it, here you go. Pretty. Now, the guy who was singing it at the piano, what a beautiful, beautiful voice. So I went and when I Shazammed it, it said, Shazam's amazing. It says, you're watching Vinyl, and here's the song, here's who's playing it. The guy who was singing and playing it was Trey Songz, S-O-N-G-Z.
Really?
He's primarily a filthy hip-hop. I went and pulled up some of his albums. E for Explicit, E for Explicit, E for Explicit. His rendition of this singing was so beautiful. And you realize, wow, these people can really sing. Kind of like I Believe I Can Fly. What was that guy?
R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, R. Kelly.
Yeah.
So, Dan, tell them what the song. I can't remember the song.
I can't remember the name of it, but I know the song.
Didn't you just say I know the song?
I know the song, but I can't think of the name of it.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
I know.
I would have this played at a memorial celebration for me, just in a little bit of downtown. Let's just take a moment and listen to something Frank really enjoyed. Everything wasn't about jokes, and that would be this song. And I told you the other one. I have it on my iPad. But listen how pretty this is.
Is that him playing, too?
No, this is a guy named Rick Wakeman.
Rick Wakeman from Yes?
Rick Wakeman is a keyboard player.
He was from Yes.
Was he?
Yeah.
Because I went and looked, and all his albums have nothing to do with Yes. They're all piano albums.
Oh, no, Rick Wakeman is a tremendous, keyboard player.
It must be a different one. This guy's stuff is all standard classical.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Rick, he had his own albums out.
David Bowie wrote that song.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And when Trey Songz did it, I thought, wow, what a talent.
Is there singing
on
this version?
No, not this. This is just strictly piano.
Oh.
But then I went and I pulled up Trey Songz, and I was going to play you some of his other music. I can't.
Mm.
I can't because it's got F word and stuff all over it. Now, here's what I understand. Why does a person so talented, and I think I know the answer to this, have to release albums that are all explicit lyrics and profane because...
Nobody will buy it.
Because that's what sells.
His audience would...
That's what sells. And that's just kind of... I don't know, kind of sad to me, I guess. So if... vinyl, folks. I don't know that most people would like it, though. It's a record and radio industry, so I don't know that you'd find that maybe as interesting as we do. So I'm going to give you the phone numbers. I'd love for you to call me and tell me if you found out something about somebody you lived with, got married to, or about to get married to, that you were totally unaware of. And I don't think you dump anybody because they faint at the sight of their own blood, but maybe there's something more serious. Maybe you found out, as Angela did too late, that Beyonce's addicted to porn. Like that. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, too late now.
Too late. Sorry.
Yeah. She knew you were about the big breast addiction. That wasn't a problem.
Right,
You told me she helped.
She had fair warning.
And she helps you with that. She points those out.
Yes.
And if you missed it, my daughter's boyfriend, when he sees his own blood, he just drops like a rock, boom, to the store. And he could have hurt himself badly, because when you are out and you faint, you don't control the fall like they do in these dramatic faintings, where they fall back on the lounge chair. You know, and now you just fall and hit the corner of a table, you put your eye out, gash your head open. So the sight of his own blood, and there's a condition for that, and it's not life-threatening. It's no big deal. So if you have anything like that, 314-969-KTRS or 888-550-KTRS or from any cell phone, *KTRS. This is Dan. Dan, welcome. How can we help you?
Frank, how you doing?
Doing great.
Frank, I've been married to the most wonderful woman in the world for, it'll be 41 years.
No, Dan, no, you haven't, because I am married to the most wonderful woman.
Wait,
in the world.
No, you're both wrong.
That's impossible. Well, oh, wait, Pian.
Wait a minute.
Oh, look out.
Last fall, we were headed down to the country for the weekend, and I don't know how the conversation came up, but after 40 years, I learned that my wife had dated another guy for a year. He had asked her to marry him. He turned them down.
Ooh, that's when you feel like the king.
I felt like, wait a minute. 40 years you've kept that from me?
Yeah, that's something you could have gloated about and strutted along on for a long time.
Well, that you referred to that in the past tense. How about in the present tense?
Okay, that too. Yeah, she should have told you that too. See, they don't want you to know stuff like that.
No, I was shocked. I was absolutely floored. Floored.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. Good for
By
you.
By the way, though, my wife cooks.
What?
Yeah.
And did she cook from the very beginning, or did she learn to cook after you got married?
No, I've got a great cook for a wife.
Man, oh, man.
So my wife's better than yours. Your wife doesn't cook, right?
No, are you kidding? My wife's a fantastic... No, wait a minute. No. I'm thinking of somebody else. Yeah, thank you. See you later. Dave is next. Hello, Dave. How are you? Dave, that's you.
Frank.
Yes, Dave. How are you?
Psychogenic shock is what that's called.
Oh, what's it called?
psychogenic shock.
Psychogenic shock when you faint at the sight of your own blood.
Yes, or anybody else's blood. Or bad trauma.
Okay, or needles. Is it all encompassing when it includes all those things?
Absolutely. You get apprehensive. Sometimes you start getting real faint and dizzy. Next thing you know, you're knocked out.
And how do you know that? Are you some kind of psychologist or psychiatrist or something?
Former paramedic, Jacksonville, Florida.
All right, that's good enough for me. Those are credentials I'll accept. Psychogenic thought shock. Now we know.
Yes.
Now we
thank
know.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. See how smart this audience is?
Mm-hmm.
Full of smart people. And I'm sure Patty's smart, too. Patty, how are you? Patty?
I can hardly hear you.
Well, I don't know why. Everybody else can hear me. Maybe, do you have hearing aids?
No.
Maybe you should get them. That might help. Patty, can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, and I didn't change a thing. Patty, how can we help you?
I have a funny story.
All right, and now it has to be funny. Go ahead.
Oh, Patty, you might want to turn your radio down.
I can't reach it.
Oh.
Just go ahead and talk.
Okay.
Okay.
My teenage sister dated a boy who was 6'4".
Uh-huh.
And he cut his hand in our kitchen, and he went into the half bath on the first floor, which is a 2x3, and he fainted, and we couldn't get the door open.
Yeah, that is funny. That is the funniest
thing. Well, that's the problem when the person is...
Well, yeah, your body blocks the door.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't responding to us, and it was before his...
Did you throw water on his face?
No, we couldn't get to him.
Oh, and why did he faint? He cut himself?
He cut himself, and he saw blood.
And saw blood. Yeah, so, see, it's a problem for people, some people.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. There goes Patty. You know, let me tell you what happened with Patty. Patty is a recent new convert from the old folks station. And what will happen, Patty, is you will very gradually become younger in thought and in speech. You are having a little trouble. You're breathing in the microphone and speaking and hearing because the old folks station, the other talk station, has essentially accelerated your age, your aging process. Thank goodness you found us, or you might be dead in about a week otherwise.
Yeah.
Now we're going to save your life. Patty will euthan as she listens to us.
Right.
Rick, you're next. How are you?
Doing all right. AM and PM.
Thank you, Rick.
Hallelujah.
How can we help you?
I am scared senseless when it comes to needles and blood.
Well, apparently you're not alone. Did you hear the name for it? Psychogenic shock.
Yeah, I heard that, and I'm like, oh, okay, so I got to remember that.
Well, I don't know why you have to remember it unless you're going somewhere in a doctor's office and go, by the way, doc, I have psychogenic shock. You need to know that.
Yeah.
But if you don't look at it, you're okay. You can get a shot or draw blood. You just can't look at it.
Oh, it don't matter. A couple of months ago, I went to a doctor, a heart specialist, and he says, I have to draw blood from you and so we can check up on you. I said, all right. So I'm going in, and I told the nurse, I said, I don't like the sight of my blood. She goes, oh, it ain't nothing, you know. And I said, oh, yes, it is. And just even the thought of her doing it made me turn white. And she goes, I think you need to lay back and put your head down because you look like you're about to faint.
So did you?
No, almost.
Have you? Have you fainted?
Not yet, but it just seems like every time I see a needle or even the thought of blood or them drawing blood or the sight of my own blood or anybody else's, I just start getting real white and feeling real faint, like I'm just about ready to fall over.
I guess you've never applied to be a paramedic or an EMT.
No.
Because they'd have to send another unit to pick you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Rick, appreciate the call. Thank you for listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
And Rita is with us. Hello, Rita.
Hi. I can't hardly hear you because I'm in my car, but I'll turn it up.
Uh-huh. That's a good idea.
Now I can hear you.
Uh-huh.
I was just calling. My son faints with if he becomes overwhelmed by, like, visual stimuli,
By vaginal stimuli.
By visual.
Oh.
Visual stimuli.
It's a vaginal stimuli.
Visual.
Oh, okay. I get overcome by vaginal stimuli.
I can imagine.
I pass out.
What does that mean? What does that mean, visual stimuli? What does that mean?
Well, the doctor told him it was vasovagal syncope.
What?
And a couple of times he
bagel,
vasovagal syncope.
Vasal sink full of pee.
Yeah. Bagel, okay. Sink full of pee.
Okay.
Right. He fainted the first time when he went to see the Passion of the Christ. And when they were giving Jesus the lashes, he fainted over that because his body became overwhelmed by the sight of that.
Man.
And
so
then
he,
another time was when his wife was, they went for their first OB visit when she first found out they were going to have a baby.
Yeah.
And he was afraid something might be wrong. So when the doctor came in, then he said, I have to step out for a minute. He just got out the door and they heard a thud and he hit the floor. And he was unconscious in the ICU for like 48 hours.
Unconscious for 48 hours?
Yeah, he ended up with a head injury from hitting the floor when he fainted.
Wow.
I know you said you can't control that when you just, and that's what he did. He just fell over and hit the floor.
Even though he tried to get out of the room in time to avoid it, it still got him.
Well, he got out of the room, closed the door, and then hit the floor. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Okay, we learned a lot from you here. Avoid vaginal stimuli.
Yeah, visual.
There you go.
Yeah, and bagel pee or something.
Bagel pee in the sink.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rita.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, look at this. A lot of people got all kinds of issues. Dave, how are you, Dave?
All right, back to you. It's white coat syndrome. It's generally when you go to an emergency room or possibly a doctor's offices and you need to maybe have blood work or a shot or maybe even stitches. Psychogenic shock is a result from, saying, a trauma, maybe copious amounts of blood, whatever, okay? And that's when you just pass out and you don't have any wherewithal because, it's a shock to the system. Where white coat syndrome is more of an apprehension.
I thought white coat syndrome was where you could only have your house painted beige or tan or something. You couldn't put a coat of white paint.
Oh, my goodness. How do you know all this, Dave? Are you
how do you know? You sound pretty smart. How are you this smart? What do you do?
I'm a retired truck driver after being a paramedic for 7.5 years.
Ah, the paramedic thing would do it. That would do it. All right.
Well, yeah, some people get burned out, you know?
Oh, I can see why.
Yeah.
I can see where many nights you go home, and it's very depressing what you have to see.
Well, and back then we didn't know a lot about PTSD, and you certainly didn't want an X on your back. You went and talked to the shrink, you know. So.
Well, the paramedics, what people don't realize is the reason a lot of them have such a tough time is they're first responders. They see things that even the doctors don't see. They see
and
the worst of the worst.
You cannot relate that to your family because then your family's going to be, you know, on alert every time you walk out the door or get, you know, toned out. But
the worst part of the scene is when you're the first one there.
Absolutely.
And that's what you guys, well, thank you for doing it. We need somebody who's able to do that, and thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Bye now.
All right. We're running, what?
I passed out one time on the toilet, and this was, I can't remember how many years ago this was, but this was a while ago. My daughter was...
Not here at the station.
No. It wasn't here at the station. But I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. All I know is I woke up with my butt sticking up in the air. They couldn't open the bathroom.
Does anybody else want to hear the rest of this?
No,
they
not really.
Open the
not
bathroom
particularly.
Door. I tore the entire shower curtain down on top of me. I woke up with all of that on me and everything.
Are you sure you weren't trying to do one of those Robin Williams erotic self-asphyxiation things that went bad?
Oh.
Like David Carradine?
Well,
thing right. Come on.
Maybe.
You tried it with a shower curtain, didn't you?
Yeah, okay, I did.
Very wrong.
All right.
Well, Dan, we're so glad it went wrong or you wouldn't be with us today.
I know. I know.
All right, Colin Jeffrey is going to be with us by phone. He's home with his sick daughter, and I would have a problem with that if I hadn't met his daughter, Michaela. Maybe one of the cutest.
McKenna.
McKenna, yeah.
McKenna.
Hang on.
What?
This is from our consultant.
Oh.
Frank, I think maybe a good idea sometimes, I don't know, maybe even tomorrow. This was written yesterday. Tomorrow, if you could deliberately screw up McKenna's name, Colin's daughter. As you know, she's homesick. If you mispronounce her name, it will let us know if your coworkers are paying attention to you. So that's exactly what I did.
So he knew that she was going to be sick today?
Yes, Karen, well, he's our consultant, so Colin apparently had said, hey, man, I have to be out, my daughter's sick. And this brilliant consultant says, this would be a great chance to see if Peon and Dan are paying attention.
Oh.
So he asked me if I'd mispronounced the name. I said, sure, anything for the station, anything to make it sound better. And I did, and by the way, you guys passed the test.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
What the heck's our consultant's name?
His name is Rod Stiffman. Rod Stiffman. He's from Minneapolis.
Okay.
He hasn't been with us very long.
No, I don't.
But, Rod, thank you. That was a great suggestion, and it worked. Of course I know her name is McKenna. What do you think, I'm stupid?
No.
So he's home, and normally I would say I don't like it as a policy of the station where people put their families before the station. You know what I'm saying? Your kids before KTRS. What are you thinking? In this case, I think we'll let it slide. So Colin will be with us by phone. My job is to have a couple of them before he steps in here. And he'll, Bill's probably getting real tired of this, if he can go late, because I'm a little behind here. But I want to make sure everybody knows how to spell Schaefer, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. And I think you know how to spell it. I also want to make sure you know that now they have 10 locations when they started with us. It was like it was yesterday. Scott Schaefer's dad, Steve, came to me and says, Frank, I'm Scott Schaefer. And I said, I'm busy. What do you want? I've never heard of you. Because, you know, I'm rude. That guy told you I'm rude.
Yes, right.
I said, what is it, man? I'm busy. And he said, it'll only take a minute. My dream is to someday have at least 10 locations. Now we have 3. Do you think you could help us with that? And I said, I don't know. I'll get back to you. And then I didn't. Then he called me again. This time he showed up at my house with some gifts. And
you said, what?
I said, well, I said, didn't I just talk to you? And he goes, yeah. I said, well, now what? He goes, same thing. I really, really, really would like for you to put us on the map. And I said, okay. So I went out and I wrecked a car on purpose. Actually hit a deer. I saw a deer and I went, boom, right for it. And I said, okay, let's see what you can do with this. And I went and got it. It was fantastic. Then I backed into a pole on purpose. I said, see how they handle this. Fantastic. So then I had some friends wreck their cars on purpose. Fantastic. I said, okay, you're on the large morning show in the afternoon. And then look what happened. Let me see. Currently, I just got, is this the most recent? Thank you. 10 locations.
Whoa. Wow. Who handed you that?
Rosalinda.
Rosalinda?
Rosalinda is her name. Rosalinda El Garazdo.
Oh.
She is a new intern here, and she is fantastic and beautiful. Thank you, Rosalinda. 10 locations, latest being in Columbia, Missouri, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. Look, you want it done right. You want the vehicle put back to where it looked like it never even happened, that accident. That's what they do. That's the only way they know how to do it. Schaefer, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. You can get the locations, phone numbers, everything at this website, SchaeferAutobody.com. All right, as soon as I convince you to get your teeth taken care of and stop ignoring them, which many of you have done for years, or as soon as I can convince you to change dentists, because you're not really wild about the dentist you go to now, once that's done, Colin Jeffrey jumps right in here by phone. His little daughter's sick. Okay, he gets a pass on that. He'll be here to tell you about entertainment, TV, movies, what to watch, what to avoid. So here's the deal with Ballast Dental Care. I've gone there 43 years. They have an offer now that they've made before, and every time they do, they get a lot of response to it. Oral sedation consultation costs $130. Oh, but not for you. You know why? Because you're AM and the PM and you're special. So for a limited time, you're going to go, I'd like to know more about this oral sedation. They'll set up a consultation. It's normally $130. It is nothing. It is not going to cost you anything. You may not even need oral sedation, but if you do, you'll be glad you had this consultation. Now, for the rest of you, which is most of you, do you have a dentist? Do you not have a dentist? Did you just move here? Did your dentist just move away to heaven, meaning passed away? Or you can't stand your dentist? Your dentist had bad breath. Your dentist has hair in his ears or her ears. That's even worse when your dentist looks down over you. Are the eyebrows like so bushy you can't stand? Bad breath even through the mask? I know these are horrible images, but sometimes it happens, and there are dentists that are just, they lost their way. Maybe your dentist does not exactly have the greatest chairside manner. Whatever. We have a place for you where you will never, ever again dread going to the dentist. And I know, because I haven't dreaded a dental appointment in 43 years. Sound too good to be true? Try me. Ballast Dental Care. Set up an appointment. It's not going to be one of those things where they go, well, let me see. They can see you 3 years from Thursday. No, they'll get you in there and they'll be happy to have you. They'll be thrilled to have you. You haven't been, let's say, 20 years to the dentist. You go, they don't want to see me. My mouth's a mess. Sure they do. They've seen worse. Ballast Dental Care. Corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. BallastDentalCare.com.
The clown with his pants falling down on the dance.
Back jump right in here and talk to Colin Jeffrey by telephone. Little daughter sick. Sorry to hear that. Colin's brought to you by Window World, the original $189 window. The number one selling replacement window in the United States. Here with all the entertainment stuff is Colin Jeffrey.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Thank you. How are you today?
I'm fine, Colin. Sorry you're not in the studio. But
I am too. Sorry. Thanks for letting me do this from home.
How's little McKenna doing?
She is doing very well. I had a good talk with Rod yesterday, and I'm happy the test worked out today.
Who is Rod?
Or wasn't that his name?
Oh,
Stiffman.
Yeah, the
Mr.
consultant.
Stiffman. Yeah, that's right.
My new consultant.
Rod Stiffman. Our consultant.
Yeah.
Good. I thought you mentioned a doctor or something.
Yeah.
But she's okay. She got a little cold or something?
Yeah, it's been going around her daycare. So
well, make sure she's get her all taken care of because she's going to be marrying my grandson.
We'll work on that.
We got a little time. So what's going on?
We've got just a couple of DVDs out this week. Daddy's Home. It's Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. It was a comedy that came out right at, just before Christmas time, got very little press, and is already out on DVD. You know, not their greatest work, but it's funny enough. You can check that out. The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, if you've been waiting to watch that on DVD.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's the Jennifer Lawrence post-apocalyptic based on book.
You saw the first one, right? The Hunger Games?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't get it.
I couldn't believe you went and saw it in the first place.
Well, I don't get a woman riding in a carriage with her coat on fire. What the heck is that? I don't get any of it.
I was not a huge fan of them. But it's over now, so we don't have to talk about it after this. This should be the last time I ever have to mention the Hunger Games. On TV this week, we're going to start with a streaming documentary that's on today. It's called The Art of Organized Noise with a Z. And that is because it talks about the producers who are behind the groups like Outkast, Goody Mob, TLC.
Oh, no.
So these producers' names in Atlanta were Sleepy Brown, Ray Murray, and Rico Wade.
I'm out.
Sleepy Brown.
Oh, no interest at all?
No.
See where En Vogue came from.
No. You want to lose me? Put your artist name, put a Z at the end of it, or L-I-L, Lil, in the front of it. You want to really lose me? Go Lil something Z. Yeah, no thank you. Lil Songs. The world's gone to hell now.
ABC has a new show coming out on Thursday. It's an L.A. private investigator. She's engaged to a man, and he turns out to be a con man and takes her for all her money. So it's the story of her trying to track him down. Peter Krause from 6 Feet Under plays the con man, ABC, Thursday night at 9 o'clock. It's called The Catch. And if you've liked Scandal or Grey's Anatomy, this is another Shonda Rhimes-produced show. So
Peter Krause is a guy everybody will recognize. He's
exactly.
He's like Hal Holbrook used to be. Not Hal Holbrook. I'm thinking of those character actors that work all the time. First time I saw Peter Krause was in 6 Feet Under. He was in Parenthood.
Yes,
right?
He was.
Yeah, and actually,
it actually helps your point that you can't come up with the actor's name. These character actors who just—they're there forever, and you don't know who they are.
Richard Crenna. That's who I was thinking of. Richard Crenna. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Showtime this Friday night. It's a documentary called Spring Broke, and they actually go back and do interviews with people and find footage from Daytona Beach and Fort Lauderdale from the 1960s when college students first started going there. And then it gets fun. Then they fast forward to the 80s when MTV sent cameras there for MTV's Spring Break. And this documentary is narrated by Robin Leach, and it talks about how out of control this got, how it went from just fun Spring Break to this sort of crazed, booze-fueled sexcapades that it became.
I don't hear Robin Leach doing that. That
These
doesn't make sense.
These people are out of control. There's sex crazy going on.
That's not bad. That's actually not bad.
So that's Friday night at 8 o'clock on Showtime. I was going to tell you, there's a Russell Brand thing out that's a war on drugs. The problem is it's on one of those channels that no one knows that they have.
Good. I can't stand Russell Brand.
I can't
what
either.
Is his talent? None.
No.
I don't know. He's certainly taken on sort of a second life after being a stand-up comedian.
No.
Now,
he took on
he's
a
the
second...
editor of like an alternative weekly in London or something. Yes.
The best thing that ever happened to Russell Brand was the 10 minutes he was married to Katy Perry.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to her.
Yeah, she lost her mind temporarily.
Margot Robbie. She is set to play Tanya Harding in a movie, I, Tanya. I have no idea who did the casting there. They look nothing alike.
Yeah, no thanks. I don't care about Tanya Harding.
Oh, she's such a train wreck. It's kind of fun to watch, trying to defend that. So
we've seen everything there is to see, though. Documentaries, we've seen it all.
Yeah, so this is a dramatized one that is supposedly saying we go back behind the scenes. Speaking of those dramatized looks back, O.J. Simpson is still chugging along, American Crime, and now they're getting all sorts of interviews that it's hitting. So Cuba Gooding Jr. gave an interview and essentially said, well, I think that O.J. may have had that CTE, the traumatic brain injury that football players get.
What?
That made him kill Nicole?
Oh, my goodness.
He says it's a no-brainer. You go back, you listen to the 911 tapes, his outbursts of emotion, it's very telling.
Those are the same outbursts of lunatics that never played football. The same people that never played football make the same kind of crazy, nut, murderous phone calls. Shut up, Cuba. And pronounce your name right, it's Cuba.
And perhaps even better is the reason he said that he probably took so many hits is because he said, he rushed for 2,000 yards. But he only did it in 14 games. So think of all those extra hits he had to take because he didn't have 16 games to do it in.
Now that I think about it, all football players that have that go out and murder people.
So he really thinks he is O.J. now, and now he's defending himself.
You know what
would
be really something is after this is over, he goes and kills two people. Then he'll,
Cuba?
You know
Cuba.
He took it seriously.
Marcia Clark also gave an interview on Larry King's online show called Larry King Now, which I bet you
watches.
Didn't even remember he had.
No, nobody watches it.
Well, except he got a great interview with Marcia Clark, and she said they've essentially gotten everything right, so much to the point she says it's painful for her to watch.
Wow. Okay, but there was a better interview recently with Matt Lauer, somebody on a mainstream big deal network that people did see. I just saw it a couple weeks ago. It was really good.
With Marcia Clark?
Yeah.
She's talking everywhere. It's really great to hear her sort of talking about this again because you're watching this and you're like, how did they blow it? How did they mess this up?
Man, that girl they have playing her, holy cow, she looks just
like her. Casting.
Yeah.
Sarah Paulson, she is great, and she's been in just about all of the American Horror Stories, so this was a natural sort of flip over for her working with Ryan Murphy again. Walking Dead, the season 6 finale will be 90 minutes. If you're a fan, that's kind of a big deal because this is going to be a very crazy finale, more than likely. And then just for you, Frank, because I know you're excited, on May 27th...
No, I know what you're going to say. Here it comes, Bloodline.
Bloodline, Season 2, May 27th.
Yeah.
Another 10 episodes in the second season, and their tagline for it is, you don't know the whole story. So I have no idea what they're going to do as far as going back, and who knows.
And I can't even remember. Is that a Netflix thing? I can't remember.
It's Netflix, yes.
And you're going to be able to binge-watch it the whole season right up front?
Oh, yeah, that's how it always is. I will have it watched by the end of that weekend because I like the first one so much.
You and I both, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. May 27th, I'm Colin Jeffrey. That's entertainment.
Wow, hope that McKenna feels better.
Thank you.
There he goes, Colin Jeffrey, he's not my father-in-law, my brother-in-law. What do you call it when it's the dad of your son's daughter?
No relation.
Well, McKenna will be my little daughter-in-law one of these days. I mean, my granddaughter. What do I think?
Granddaughter-in-law.
What's the matter with me? I forget how old I am. I'm old. Granddaughter-in-law, I guess.
Wow.
That was Colin Jeffrey. He's not nearly as old or dementia as affected as I am by dementia. He's still with it and still got it. And it was brought to you by Window World, the original $189 window company. People sponsoring the big trivia night coming up in May. And folks, we've got to come up with something where we can make up some money for St. Jude. And I don't care what I have to do. Come wash your car, cook your dinner. You'll die if you eat it, but whatever. Take you to dinner. Think of something you're willing to shell out money for. I'd be happy to help you. Colin Jeffrey will be back, well, not only next week, but he'll be here Friday with the one and only Goddike Paul Harvey. So
Harris.
Sure,
Paul Harris.
American Equity Mortgage. The mortgage business, sir. It wouldn't be in the name. It'd be stupid to have mortgage in your name if you were in the heating and cooling business. That would be stupid. Mm. They're in the mortgage business. But there's more. But wait, there's more, as Ron Popeil started people saying a long time ago. And there is more. More like going to them to borrow money if you own a home and you say, well, I'm kind of embarrassed to go. I didn't. We don't have our mortgage with them. Is that okay? Of course it's okay. Of course it's okay. They'll be happy to. They're not like that. They'll be happy to show you how using the equity is a smart way to borrow money. Look, the only difference between a smart loan and a dumb loan, stupid loan, is interest. It's interest. These mobsters and these people that go, yeah, I loan you $20,000, but you better show up here Thursday with $30,000. That's not a good loan. That's not a good. Look, Breaking Bad or any of these shows, they go, oh, my goodness, Rico, I promise I'll pay you back. I got to get my hands on $30,000. 30 G's, huh? All right. But if you don't have 40 G's by Friday, I'm going to kill your whole family. That's not a good loan. That's high, high interest, 30 to 40. Good loan is low interest, really low interest, like today's low mortgage rates. That's the kind American Equity will help you make because you're a homeowner and you have equity in your home. If you want to know more and want to know why it's such a bad idea to pay minimum payments on credit cards once or twice, get you over a couple of months, that's okay. We understand that everybody does. Few people have perfect credit, but if you keep doing it, you're making a mistake if you're a homeowner. AmericanEquity.com or 314-878-9999. FM. That was horrible.
And we're full of chit, and we think
somebody was off.
The brown stain on the mattress.
So get up.
I don't even know what that means, and it's funny.
What?
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the March. Not like Jose Hernandez there for a minute.
I know.
Welcome, Mr. Haney, to the March 22nd edition of Pinions Playhouse, brought to you by Matheny Heating. I love that character, Mr. Haney.
I know.
Matheny Heating and Cooling. They know exactly what to do.
The only other thing I saw that guy in was Back to the Future 3. He was in the saloon.
What's his name? Pat Buttram?
I think so.
Hey! Well, Matheny Heating and Cooling is our sponsor. And we're going to get to them after we get to these guys. Guy number one, the control board operator, Eon the Peon. Peon, say hi to your sponsor.
I would like to say hi and thanks to Mark and Jason. They are financial advisors with Stiefel Nicholas, which is a member of the SIPC.
It sounded like you said Stiefel Nicholas.
Nippolis?
No, Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Oh, Nicholas. No, I said Nicholas.
We don't need to be losing that account.
Yes, Nicholas. I could put the nickel in there part more.
Misheard.
More succinctly. But yes, they are members of the SIPC and NYSE. And if you are getting ready to receive some money from your 401k, it would be a good time to explore all of your options with Mark and Jason. For their phone number and more, go to
markandjason.com.
Hello to the chicks.
Dan Strauss is in the house with his trouser mouse. Dan is one of the biggest fans of Sleepy Dusty Delta Day, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
Because Dan understands comedy, and he appreciates beating something to death and how effective that is.
Yes. it is.
He's also in the house with his trouser mouse. Dad, how's it going?
Great. Hi, everybody.
This is an awkward thing to ask without asking off the air, but how's that thing going with Tammy?
Sandy.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
Well, because we mentioned her earlier. Hey, edit that out, man, because that was awkward. Can you edit it out?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. How's that thing going with Sandy?
Great.
Good,
everything
I like
is
her.
Going great.
Do you like her, Peon?
Yes, absolutely.
Bruce, you like Sandy, don't you? Yeah. Red Boy likes her.
Everybody oh, yeah.
Likes her.
Everybody
yeah.
likes
she
Sandy.
She fits in pretty well so far. That's yes. good. You got to have the people around you liking your girlfriend, or it's awkward.
Oh, I know.
It just is. Well, we've been through it with
I
you
know.
Before several times.
Yeah.
Let me see. Hebe Jimenez is in charge of security. Yeah, that's it. Bernice is in heaven.
Your horse is hanging.
No, I guarantee he doesn't know that.
What?
The band does not play that. He wants to know. It's actually a Christmas song. He says it's a Christmas song called Green... Green what?
Cheese.
No, it's Green Sleeves. Green Sleeves. It's a Christmas song. There's no green cheese song.
There's green eggs and ham.
Yeah, you're thinking about what the moon's made out of. Please give it up, if you would, for Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra.
Is the moon made out of cheese?
It is. Green cheese.
Oh.
Well, we know that because we had guys land on there.
Oh, that's right.
And they brought back some slices of it. It looks white because the reflection in outer space, but it's really green cheese.
Oh.
We're brought to you by Mathena Heating and Cooling. I'll tell you a true story. As many, 14 years ago, I had a meeting with the Matheny brothers, with Tom and Rob, and they said, Frank, we want to take Matheny to another level. And I said, I'm busy. And I said, you need to get, can you call me some other time? He said, oh, yeah, sorry, we bothered you. So they called me another time, and I said, yeah, what is it? And they said, we've got a good heating and cooling company. I said, prove it. They said, how can we do that? I said, well, come out and check my system out. So they did. I liked the way they worked. I liked the way they operated. I checked around, called a few people. They said, oh, yeah, good company. They said, what would it take to get on your show so that you could, you know, take us to that next level? And I said, a check for $400,000 up front, cash in my pocket under the table.
Hmm.
And they wrote it. They wrote it and gave it to me. And then my conscience started bothering me. And I remember I gave it back to them. I've always regretted that. But
gave
I gave
back $100,000.
Gave $400,000. I gave back $100,000. Yeah. No. I said, you know, I don't do business that way. Just like you don't do business the way some heating and cooling companies do. You know, where you cheat people, you exaggerate the cost of something, bill for more time than the job really required. I said, so we're kind of alike that way. Yeah, we shook hands, and the rest is history,
whoa,
as they say.
Wow.
And look where they are now. I don't know the ranking of heating and cooling. I'm going to tell you, I'll bet in ranking of heating and cooling companies, I'll bet you they're right up there in the very, very top tier. And I don't know how they couldn't be. 74 years in business, rave reviews from people who... I get emails from people who go, I must have had 5 heating and cooling companies out over the years. My goodness, I've never had anybody... I thought these days ended in the 50s when people acted like this. These are obviously from older people, like our parents or your grandparents, but... It works. You know, some things work. If you keep doing it the same way for decades, there's no reason to change that. Technology can change, the equipment can change, but the way you deal with people doesn't have to change, shouldn't change. Respect, it's called respect and honesty and integrity and credibility and just doing what needs to be done and telling people the truth. That's it. It's all you're looking for. And everybody wants a deal. Everybody likes to think, oh, I got a great deal. There are no deals in the heating and cooling business. There aren't. If somebody says they got a deal for you, then they stole it off the back of a truck somewhere. And I might add, we knew, my wife and I used to know a guy, this is about 22 years ago, and we found out this guy we knew was stealing units at night, compressors and from buildings at night, breaking in and selling them through a heating and cooling buddy of his. They were stealing them. They don't do that. They don't have to do that. All right? So my point, I guess, is anybody can call themselves heating and cooling people. There are plenty of legitimate heating and cooling companies. There are. I'm sure they're pretty good. We don't care about them. You're AM and the PM. We are, and they are at Matheny. So let's reward them for that. Let's reward them for their part in making this show possible. By simply doing this, next time you need that system serviced or replaced, you call them. You live in St. Louis or St. Charles County, any part of either county, they'd love to have you as a customer. Your house isn't too big or too small. Your business isn't too big or too small. No model, no make, no shape, no size, no type, no style is out of their field of expertise. They can work on everything. It's a terrific family, a terrific company, Matheny. Heating and Cooling, Matheny Heating and Cooling.com. From downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Limprist and the All Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab. You know that. Your AM and the PM cab company, STL Taxi. That's the app, and it's free, and it's easy to use. Of course, the old-fashioned way, 314-652-3456. You can call them. They'll be happy to get a cab right out to you. It'll be a clean cab, and they'll be courteous because they, like you, are AM and the PM with Cleve Cab. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon.
Hey, Bill. I finally went on, and I watched your little sort of, what would you call it? It's a compilation of sorts on your website, your video.
Oh, yeah, that's a it was an ad that was produced for Facebook, actually. It was a 60-second little video ad for BillOnTheRoad.com.
Yeah, it's good. People should look at it.
Thank you.
BillOnTheRoad.com. What do you got for us today?
Well, President Obama attended a baseball game in Cuba between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cuban national team. Everything, I guess, went pretty smoothly until the game was over, and then three-quarters of the Cuban players tried to sneak on the Rays bus. Other than that, everything was okay, I guess. That was a big surprise in the new Forbes list of wealthiest people in the world. Hulk Hogan is now in fourth place.
Yeah, no kidding.
Why did he make a lot of money? He won that lawsuit versus the Gawker Media. They got $140 million. So, you know, right now there has never been a better time to be a bandana salesperson.
Boy, isn't that the truth. He wears one all the time. You know,
right.
I would be happy for somebody to post me having sex on video for $111 million. I would.
That's
I know it would be disgusting, but I don't care.
I saw him sitting in court with his bandana on.
He had a black one.
Surprised.
Yes, his formal bandana.
Yes.
I am shocked that the judge didn't tell him to take it off.
Yeah, that's his.
I don't think you can. I mean, if it's...
On a bandana?
I mean, I don't know. Are there rules? And I don't think there are rules
but
in court about...
But I'm with Peon. I would think in a high-level trial atmosphere like that, come on, man.
He does not like his bald edge.
No, he does not want people to see he's bald.
Somebody said, though, I saw online, they said he's the richest porn star ever. One movie, $115 million.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I don't know if you know much about the Gawker website. I refuse to go on that website. I think they are horrible. The guy that runs that site, I think he's a disgusting human being.
Sure.
And I was more than happy to see them have to write a check for $140 million, which they never will. They'll probably go to appeals and whatever, but I don't like that website at all.
All right, so that was
nobody cares.
That
and
was...
finally, this afternoon.
That was an editorial.
What is that disgusting website? It's one of those fetish things where the guy, I don't even know how to describe this, gets with women, he takes those tubes of that putty stuff, Cawker.
Oh, my goodness. Website.
Sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I'm actually sorry. No, I'm actually
this
sorry.
This went downhill in a hurry.
Edit that out. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Now that I heard
different things
sorry.
Closed, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty interesting. Turns out Olivia Newton-John, we all know Olivia Newton-John, her boyfriend, remember the guy disappeared 11 years ago?
Yeah.
Just popped up.
Well, he's been spotted alive in Mexico recently.
Yeah, you know why? Because her career has had a resurgence now.
Yeah, he was spotted in New Mexico recently. Somebody got to him and said, well, why did you ditch Olivia? He said that because she wouldn't get physical and wouldn't get physical.
Oh.
Man.
Hey. Go back to your editorial.
Yikes.
Oh, that was no worse than the Cocker website.
No, I think it was, actually.
Oh, really?
That was
okay,
actually
fine.
Worse.
The Bill Clavel segment is brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM Cab Company, and from downtown St. Louis. So I'm Bill Clavel on the Big 550 KTR.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, see ya.
Courtesy of Laclede Cab. Olivia Newton-John is still a babe. Have you seen her? She's touring now. She'll probably be coming to River City or someplace in town pretty soon. I just saw we were somewhere out of town. I saw coming to the, and it's always some casino. Today,
yeah, right.
You know, to the Cliff Haven Casino. It's Olivia Newton-John, and I'm watching the thing. She still can sing and looks good. And
she's all, was she, like 60 something?
Oh, easily. Yeah, easily in her 60s. Still cute, and I'm assuming still sings pretty well. Olivia Neutron Bomb. Remember when they called
her? Oh, yeah.
That was a big thing. Pee Wee Herman's new movie, let's see, it's called Pee Wee's, is it Pee Wee's Big Holiday? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah.
Peon's a big Pee Wee fan.
You folks too?
Well, I mean, that was a long time ago, the Playhouse.
I used to love watching the Playhouse.
My second son. I know he'll take his son to see this. But what's interesting is when you see 63 years old, Paul Rubens, when you go watch this, and even when Rubens watched it, he said he died because of the magic they were able to use to make him look 30 years younger. He looks exact, and it's a combination of, I'm not making this up, simple things as stretching with tape the back of his neck to tighten his skin, digitally youthening his skin, and lighting and makeup. And with all of them, they called it de-aging. They took 30 years off of him. He looks just like, and people are going to go and go, I cannot believe this. This guy looks just like, he really doesn't. But they made him look younger.
Yeah, I hope it's good. I don't know if it is.
You mean the movie or
the new movie
look?
Yeah. The new movie. I mean, I hope. I know Judd Apatow is involved in it, and he does some good things. So.
What was the story of the original Pee Wee's Big Adventure? I don't even know he had a bicycle.
The second one wasn't as good, I don't think. The first one was, yes, it was him trying to track down his stolen bike.
Yeah,
and then the second one involved a circus.
Yeah, Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
That one wasn't as... I remember.
I watched one when it came out, but I just don't remember anything about it.
And what's her name was in it? What is her name? She's really, really cute, too.
This is how
I
you bring
think.
The show.
I know.
No, this is how you bring the show down.
I can picture her.
He does this a lot.
I can picture her. Who was in Pee-wee's Big Top? It was the
here's,
girl.
Here's Dad. Oh, you know who else is in it?
She's
she's
Penelope Ann Miller.
Yeah.
Is that who you're thinking of?
No. I was thinking it. This was the jerk. Forget it. I got two movies screwed up.
I got the movies.
Wrong movie.
Good
that
grief.
Makes it even funnier.
Oh, Dan.
Good story, Dan.
Such an idiot.
So, there was a guy, you can YouTube this guy, and he was kind of the Pee Wee Herman of his day, long before people were named Pinky Lee. Does anybody know who this guy was? Go to YouTube sometime when you have a minute and type in Pinky Lee. Hello, it's me. My name is Pinky Lee. And he had on a checkered suit, and he was in a little hat. I'm not kidding. It was all like Pinky Lee. When I was a little bitty kid, like barely old enough to know what was going on, I remember Pinky Lee. So you check it. You'll see how similar they are.
Bernadette Peters was what I was trying to think of.
Yes, she was with Steve Martin in The Jerk, yes.
Olivia Newton-John is 67.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bernadette Peters is talented.
Yeah.
And she can sing. She can really sing. She's a great, like a Broadway performer. I know that teenagers are knuckleheads sometimes, but sometimes they do things I just... And I always hate to say this, but sometimes you just get what you deserve. If you're going to stand up on top of a car and go car surfing at 60 miles an hour on the hood of a car and you top a hill and you fly off and you get hit by the oncoming car, well, I'm sorry, but that's what happens. And now we have this game involving bows and arrows called Dodging Arrows.
I had not heard of this one before this story.
This is the dumbest thing.
Yes, I would
there has to be teenage drinking involved. So now we have a 15-year-old in Charleston, West Virginia. Oh, West Virginia. Killed, struck in the head with an arrow, playing the game of dodging arrows. Well, apparently he wasn't a very good dodger.
Mm-mm.
Now, what kind of stupid game is that? Hey, Jimmy, I'll pull back on this bow.
Yeah, I don't even know how that's a game.
And I'll shoot an arrow. See if you can dodge it and not have it hit you in the head and pierce your head. Yeah, how is that a game? Oh, my goodness. He's 15. Listen to this part. It says his girlfriend, Carly Atkins, said that she started dating him on St. Patrick's Day. Dating him? You're in the sixth grade. And she says, yeah.
No, if he's 15, he would be.
No, she's in the sixth grade.
She's in the sixth grade?
Yeah, his girlfriend's a sixth grader, and they're dating. And she said, the last text I got from him was on Saturday, and it was, bye, babe, I love you. Well, don't a lot of texts end with that?
Yeah.
Didn't mean anything. Almost like she's saying he knew he was going to die. No, he didn't. He's just a numbskull kid.
He's 15. He was a freshman in high school. So
yeah, and then here's the other thing. At the end of the story, she describes, he was such a nice kid, easy to hang out with. He'd do anything for anybody. I'm so tired of hearing that when people die. I'm sick of it. I give his shirt off his back. He'd do anything for anybody. No, that's not true. Nobody will do anything for just anybody. Let's stop using that. Let's come up with something better and more original. That's my suggestion. Ladies, get in here, please.
Ooh, that's nice.
As you know, Bill Cleveland is on the road a lot, hence the BillOnTheRoad.com. And this is the story about Bill going out to Arizona to an Indian reservation. And there's a big attraction there. And it's this Indian chief who claims to have the world's greatest memory. Remembers every single thing he ever did, any day. Remembers everybody he ever met, what they discussed. Now, remember this. It's important to follow through with a joke. The old Indian remembers everything anybody ever said to him, any place he ever met, any place he ever went, rather, everything. So a tourist, Bill Cleveland, walks up to the guy in front of the teepee and it says, $20 to question the chief with the world's greatest memory. And Bill says, well, now how does this work? And he says, well, you give me $20, you walk in, it's important, this is the important part, you stand before him and just say, how? That's the greeting, the old Indian greeting, how? And then he'll just nod, and then you proceed to ask him a question. And Bill says, well, how do I know if the answer is really the truth, if he's making it up? He said, that's a good question, Mr. Cleveland. We have a diary. He reaches over and brings over this huge, giant book. It's a diary the chief has kept since he was 15 years old. He said he's written down something from every day of his life from 15, and he's now 90 years old. But he never refers to it. He's not even now allowed to see it because it's our way of proving to people. For example, Mr. Clavin, for $20, you can flip through the diary, pick any date, any time of day. Ask the chief a question about what happened that day. He'll know. He'll remember. He doesn't check in the book. The Bill says, oh, this is pretty cool. So he goes in. There's the chief, 90 years old. Bill says, how? And the chief nods. So Bill starts flipping through the pages of this big book, and he goes, okay, chief. The morning of September 23rd, 1955. What'd you have for breakfast? Now, Bill thinks he's trying to throw the chief a trick question. And the chief says, not have breakfast in that morning of September 1955. Skip breakfast. Normally on all mornings have buffalo bacon, 5 eggs, but not that morning. That morning, young, beautiful Indian maiden walk into teepee just as I prepare to make breakfast. She say to me, my brother and my dad out hunting. We have 30 minutes. So we did it. In my teepee that morning, not have breakfast. And sure enough, right there in the diary, he had written for that date, that year, no breakfast, got with beautiful Indian maiden, and there was her name, Running Deer, for incredible sex. And Bill goes, wow, Chief, that's good. That's impressive. That's impressive. That says it right here. He had sex that morning. Nice to meet you. You're unbelievable. And Bill leaves. 10 years later, Bill's still on the road, still doing that website, still working part-time at KTRX. In other words, Bill hasn't gone anywhere, really, in his career, but he's still traveling. And once again, he finds himself in Arizona. Now the Chief's 100 years old. And Bill's curious. He goes, all right, I remember when I was here 10 years ago. Bill remembers. I asked him, and I looked in that book, and by golly, he remembered that day he had sex with that maiden and didn't have breakfast. I'm going to go in again. He goes in. Now it's $40. And the guy says, here's the way it works. Bill says, I know. I'm sure nothing's changed. I pay you. I walk in. I go, how? He goes, exactly. So Bill walks in, looks at the chief. Chief looks up at Bill. Bill says, how? This is 10 years later. The chief says, doggy style. I was just on my phone trying to find that guy down in Texas that sounds just like me, that my friends, and they've got a local softball or baseball game being broadcast, and there's nobody in the stand, there's no sound of a crowd, it's just a guy down in Texas going, and Jimerson's on second, there's a pitch, and maybe tomorrow play, but it's hilarious, but I can't find this guy.
There's some guy that's, who said that? They saw,
the rat at the lake, he says, a guy down in Texas at this KEYE 1400 AM, he says, sounds just like me. Yeah, they're doing some goofy little ball game, local game, and there's no, on the website, no lineup of personalities at all. You can't find who's on the air. It's, you know, Podunk, Texas radio, which is where we're headed, because that's where radio guys always end up going. We're headed there. Go to a guy who made it to the top of the heap. That's right, K-Rock, L.A. You don't get bigger than that. His name is Mike. Now look where he is with us. Mike Evans, Southern California, brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market next door. Now he's going to be mad because I ate up a minute of time and we're a little short. Let's see if it's how short his fuse is today. Annie Gunn's and the Smokehouse are on the east end of everything in Chesterfield Valley, and gift cards are always a great idea. Here is Mike Evans.
Give it up.
Give it up. Give it up, give it up. Pop quiz question, you ready?
Yep.
One of these four celebrities is a big, big, born-again Christian. The other three brag about being atheists. Mm. Which of these four is the Christian? Bill Gates, Kevin Bacon, Jane Fonda, Angelina Jolie. Love Nuggets. During an interview, Ben Affleck was asked about his soon-to-be ex-wife, Jennifer, as far as a mother goes. After a long wait, he called Jennifer the perfect mother, got choked up, started crying. They should have asked him what kind of motherly skills the babysitter that he's been stoinking for the last 2 years has.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, he's got a soft side if he cried.
It is kind of sad. Judge Judy doesn't always make the right decisions. You know, in June 1977, she married Jerry Shinlin. But did you know that in June 1990, they got a divorce? Then she must have appealed her decision.
Mm.
Because they were remarried 4 months later. I never knew that.
I didn't either. Tell people, how, you know how much she makes a year, Judge Judy?
$40 million
a year, Judge Judy.
How about that? She looks great for 72.
No, I'll say.
Yeah.
I think she's
TV
hot.
News, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah.
Plays a hooker named Sandy, plays a hooker named Candy in the HBO miniseries called The Deuce. They're shooting it in New York. It also stars James Franco. Story is set in 1970, tough, raw streets of New York City when New York was a pretty scary place back
then. Who wants a hooker called The Deuce? What kind of nickname
Deuce,
is that?
Deuce.
No, Deuce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I misheard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you did.
Every once in a while, a new story comes out. I just want to voice my own opinion, get it off my chest, and we're going to do that right now.
Go.
regarding Chicago White Sox Adam LaRoche quitting baseball because management told him that he couldn't let his son have his own locker and be in the clubhouse every game. Well, first of all, if every player did that, there'd be more kids in the clubhouse than players.
Yeah.
Two, other players complained about the kid. They have something to say about it. And, you know, I've been in just about every Major League Baseball clubhouse in America. And they're raw. I mean, once the cameras go are told to leave, I mean, what goes on in those clubhouses, I mean, it's raw, sometimes mean. It's a very moody place. Bunch of naked men running around and talking about stuff that a child shouldn't be sitting there listening to every day. I think this guy's an idiot.
He is an idiot.
Why in the world do you want to just look like a bartender demanding that his kids come and watch him? Makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I had mixed feelings about that. But then I heard he was not taking him to school. That's how it
yeah.
He said, I'm not a big fan of school. I think he's learning more here in the clubhouse than I.
In the clubhouse?
That's where I kind of lost him.
Dating history, William Shatner, 85 years old today. He's talking at the beginning of Star Trek, the mission. His mission is now to stay alive, I think, at 85.
Well, my mission is to stay alive.
What the hell was that?
That was William Shatner.
No, I don't think so.
I just interviewed him.
I haven't seen him lately, but he didn't look like 85.
No, he doesn't.
I think that was Dan Duryea.
I have not seen
him. Duryea? Who's that?
Now, Mike, you just mentioned the names. Only 85-year-olds would know. Dan Duryea.
Who is that? I don't even know that.
I don't know if I've ever used that word.
Mike, you're not even old enough to know who that is.
My grandmother used to like. Mike, I love Dan Duryea.
Dan Derry.
Who in the heck is that?
He's an actor.
Wow.
And why don't you just go ahead and mention Durward Kirby?
Oh, my goodness.
Durward Kirby?
Dan Duryea died in 1968.
You know who else died from gastrointestinal problems? Dan Diarrhea.
He was on the morning show here for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was.
He played football for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Who was the guy who was the first host of the Today Show? Dave Garraway is next.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that doesn't even fit with what we're talking
about. And finally, again,
Dan Duryea.
One of these four celebrities is a big, big born-again Christian. The other three brag about being atheists. Which of the four is the Christian? Bill Gates, Kevin Bacon, Jane Fonda, Angelina Jolie.
Oh, I'll go Kevin Bacon.
I'll say Kevin Bacon, too.
I want to say Bacon, but I'm going to guess Jolie claims that she is.
Angelina Jolie, Bill Gates, and Kevin Bacon brag they are atheists. Jane Fonda became a born-again Christian in 1998.
Oh, boy.
And likes to tell everybody about it. Mike Evans, hi.
Of course she does. She wants the Vietnam vets to forgive her. That's what that's about. Mike Evans from Southern California, courtesy of Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market. Mike, obviously, folks, you got any old Dan Duryea movies?
Oh, my goodness.
No, I hardly know who that is. We have a terrific banking facility that you probably know is a big, big part of the show. And not only this show, but the yard sale on the weekends. And we didn't know if there'd be a yard sale because we didn't know years ago, wow, will we ever be able to get anybody to sponsor the whole thing, just like one sponsor? And we had a few different people that stepped up and did it, but nobody wanted to do it long term until First Community Credit Union came along and said, wow, we're getting tremendous response to this. A lot of people hear this. They come in. We're in. And they've been on for 5 years, 6 years, something like that. First Community Credit Union is a place to bank. The fact that the word bank is not in the name, forget that. Don't let that bother you. Here's what should bother you. Your bank hardly knows who you are. You're just another customer that drives through the window. I see it all the time. I've seen, when I used to do that at a bank, it didn't even know who I was. I told you it was there 23 years. It was Boatman's at the time. 23 years I'd been with it through different name changes. They didn't have a clue who I was. They keep asking me periodically for an ID, and I got tired of it. It's insulting. ID? I come in here like twice a week. What are you talking about? Those days are over. First Community Credit Union, you're a member, not just a customer. And you never have to worry about how you're going to be treated or whether or not your rates are competitive, because the answer is yes, they are, and no, you never will be mistreated. And the popcorn is fresh, and the locations are everywhere. There are 42 of them. They're the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. You want to know more? Stop in. Plenty of places you can do that. Or check this website out. This is a great place to bank, folks. First Community Credit Union, firstcommunity.com.